It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the 18th of September. God bless you. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. She may not be available. I will actually take us in prayer, lead us in prayer. Father, be with us as we open up our worship to you. We thank you very much for the love you have for us. Thank you for your kindness and grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
topic is when good leaders die. When good leaders die, we're talking about when godly people who've been leading in the church, when they pass away. What happens to the church, friends, when good leaders die? Father, be with us as we study this simple subject, and we pray for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is really talking about Gideon, and the Bible says, and it came to pass, this is in Judges 8, verse 33, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal Berith their god. Brothers and sisters, if the church is in apostasy, that means the leaders are in apostasy because the people follow the leader. You see that all in every good leader in the Bible. When the good leader died, then other leaders came. And when the church went sour, it was because the leaders were sour, brothers and sisters. So, you know, that's just a fact. Now, if you see the leaders teaching and preaching and living, like if they came and inherited a crazy situation and they're teaching and preaching and living a different way, eventually they'll turn the tide of the church, or the church will get new leaders, okay? So if they stay in office, that is a sign that they are corrupt, brothers and sisters. But let's see what happens. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 28, and it tells us what it will be like in the end of time. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So even though we could be on the brink of the second coming, people are just going about business as usual, just in, you know, nothing wrong with being married, okay? It's just that the concept here is that people are focused on relationships and not bringing Jesus necessarily into them. Likewise, also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Brothers and sisters, in the days of Lot, there was abject homosexuality. So there was a perversion of the marriage relationship, and that is exactly what we have today. And all you have to do is look at the various churches and their positions. Yes, they'll say some nice things. God wants us to have the marriage relation as it was in the beginning. But what do they do in their schools, brothers and sisters? Do they allow gay clubs and lesbian clubs in their schools? What is their position on transgenderism? Do they allow transgenders to be members of the church? Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is the case in the large Sunday-keeping churches and in the large Sabbath-keeping church, okay? And so you can say one thing just as it's a political move, you see. Oh, we're going to teach. Look at what I just gave. I gave a sermon on the importance of the, male and female relationship. But yeah, but when I send my children to your schools, what are they going to see? What is allowed? Because we get government money, you see. They get government money. So my brothers and sisters, when good leaders die, you see the church go down. It says, watch this. I'm reading from the servant of the Lord, and she says, the things you have described as taking place in Indiana, the Lord has shown me would take place just before the close of probation. Every uncouth thing would be demonstrated. What is she talking about? There will be shouting. Brothers and sisters, do you go to church? Does the preacher put the microphone in his mouth? Ah! Do you see that in the church? There will be shouting with drums. Do you see drums in the churches, brothers and sisters? This was written over 100 years ago. She said just before the close of probation, every uncouth thing. Now, what I want to pause, brothers and sisters, because a lot of us don't know what uncouth means, so I'm going to look it up. And it's always good to look it up. I don't have time to look it up in the, what would I call it? The 1828 dictionary, because meanings do change. But it says awkward, clumsy, unmannerly, strange and ungraceful in appearance and form, unusual and strange. So every strange thing would come into the church, brothers and sisters. Every uncouth thing would be demonstrated, she says. There will be shouting with drums and with drums, music and dancing. So what did you see? Shouting, drums, music, and dancing. Do you see that in the churches? That's a question. It shouldn't be a hard question to answer, brothers and sisters. It's a question. Do you see that in the churches? Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, almost most of the churches that I have recently stepped foot in for different reasons, maybe a funeral, maybe this, maybe that, they had drum sets, and their music was loud, and the preachers were shouting, and the people were shouting. And these were people claiming to be the remnant, brothers and sisters. They were involved in strange things. There were demons in there. That's the bottom line. The senses of rational beings will become so confused that they cannot be trusted to make right decisions. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. Well, it might be a blessing to have a song service, but when you get the praise teams up there and the women are dressed real with real tight clothes, and they're just kind of doing their little dancing, and yeah, they're clapping their hands and dancing, and they're screaming, and the music is so loud you can't even hear. If somebody said something next to you, you couldn't even hear what they were saying. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise, and to have a carnival. It is idolatry and witchcraft in there, brothers and sisters. It says the Lord is not me, the Lord. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise. Demons blend with all that noise to have a carnival. And this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. Isn't that what it says? Come on, y'all. Let's get the Spirit in here. You know what I'm saying. You know I'm telling you the truth. Those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. That is from Selected Messages, Book 2, page 36 and 38. Brothers and sisters, let me give you another statement. We're talking about when good leaders die. What is allowed in the churches today? You see, brothers and sisters, the general conference presidents, the conference presidents, the union conference presidents, they should be preaching and teaching about godly worship. They shouldn't be the ones to just be silent or be the ones encouraging these types of worship services. You know, I went to one worship service, brothers and sisters, and I kid you not, if you didn't know you were in a church, you would know you were in a church. It was dark. It was set up with darkness, and you couldn't even see your Bible. So everything was on the big screens, and they had the drums and the band, and they had it was dark on the ceiling, and you had the lights. It was like a club atmosphere. Let us give no place to strange exercisings, it says, which really take the mind away from the deep movings of the Holy Spirit. God's work is ever characterized by calmness and dignity. Did you hear that, friends? God's work is ever characterized by calmness and dignity. That's Selected Messages, Book 2, page 2, page 42. And then let's talk about false speaking in tongues, fanaticism, false excitement, false talking in tongues, and noisy exercises have been considered gifts which God has placed in the church. Some have been deceived here. The fruits of all this have not been good. So what have the fruits been, friends? What is the fruit of this exercising, okay? Did it bring more people to Christ, or did it drive people away? Did it bring more people to Christ, or did it cause people to feel like you were in some kind of strange thing? The Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. Fanaticism and noise have not been considered special evidences of faith. Some are not satisfied with a meeting unless they have a powerful and happy time. They work for this and get up an excitement of feeling, but the influence of such meetings is not beneficial. When the happy flight of feeling is gone, they sink lower than before the meeting because their happiness did not come from the right source. The most profitable meetings for spiritual advancement are those which are characterized with solemnity and deep searching of heart. Brothers and sisters, you're not searching your heart when all that music is playing. You just have a feel-good. It's a seance. It's a trance-like feeling. Each seeking to know himself and earnestly and in deep humiliation seeking to learn of Christ. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 4, 12. Brothers and sisters, when good leaders die, the church goes down. And it goes on to say, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. This is after Gideon's death, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. They remembered the Lord no more. Notice what Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that was talking about God's people. And God's people today, we have forgotten our heritage. We've forgotten how God pulled us out of sun worship and out of seances and false teachings regarding the dead. It's all the same. Spiritualism is believing that the dead are not really dead. That is the foundation of the occult. And that came into Christianity by the Roman Catholic Church because they brought people in the occult into the church. So they changed the church doctrines. And they now teach that when you die, there's a home going. I don't believe in home going because you don't go home when you die, brothers and sisters. You rest in the grave. All that are in the grave, Jesus said, will hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. That's at the second coming. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That is 1,000 years after the first resurrection, brothers and sisters. And so those who believe and teach and promote or don't condemn that devilish teaching, brothers and sisters, that when you die, you go straight somewhere. They're supporting the occult. I don't think you're catching it. They're supporting the occult because the occult is based on the fact that there are living who were dead. I'm not talking about people who are were truthfully resurrected. That's different. Moses was resurrected from the dead and went to heaven. There were some who were resurrected from the dead at the resurrection of Christ. The Bible speaks of them, and they went into the town to witness for God. We would assume that God did not just have them, of course, go back down into the grave. That is an assumption. We don't have a record of it, but as far as in the Bible. But the bottom line is God has resurrected people from the dead. But that's different than you died and you just immediately changed form and began to go up to heaven, or you changed form and went to purgatory, or you changed form and went to hell, or you changed form and became stardust, okay? We support the occult in Christianity when we teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven, my friend. And so I'm here to tell you that we have forgotten God as Christians, and we have forgotten the great things he has done for us, and we have gone after the ways of the world, my friend. And God is not pleased with us going after the way of the world, and it will come back to haunt us. Brothers and sisters, the reason why the churches can't even figure out that why Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, because we have so much selfishness in our hearts. Yeah, that's right, my friends. We are selfish, and we throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. If you are fighting, if you are a Democrat and you are a Christian, you are supporting homosexuality. Oh, I would never do that. That's what the party supports. That's what the party believes in, brothers and sisters. Oh, I just don't like Trump, so it's the better of two evils. Brothers and sisters, you shouldn't like Trump. You should love him because the Bible says love your enemies. That's what the Bible says, friends. We have just gone so far from the word of God that we think we don't even know what normal is. Jesus would not be involved in these political fights. And if you were a Christian, you would not be a Republican. Why would I say such a thing? Because the bottom line is the Republican Party supports mob violence. just like the Democratic Party does in some of the riots. But, you know, there weren't a lot of dark people in the Capitol, brothers and sisters. Oh, he didn't say that. Oh, yes, he did, because you know what I'm saying. There's prejudice and there's racism, brothers and sisters, in the Republican Party. And there's prejudice and racism in the Democratic Party. Black folks don't like white folks. White folks don't like black folks. We just kind of hide behind a nice facade and we just, you know, or we'll have a few, you know, white people in our church or group, or we'll have a few black people in our church or group, but brothers and sisters, we don't like them sometimes. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that we are so far from where God wants us to be. We are not ready for Jesus to come. We have in our churches positions on transgenderism. In the largest Sabbath-keeping church, you can be a transgender and be a member. As per their website, if you look carefully, now they got it all with flowery phrases and impressive words, brothers and sisters, but if you read it carefully, I think it's point number 5, it basically says you can be a member, you just can't have intimate relationships with anybody but your heterosexual spouse. That means I can put on a wig and I can put on my wife's clothes and put on her shoes and just, you know, do some nice things to make myself shave all my hair and make myself look like a woman, and she can come in my closet and put on my suit and shave off her hair, and we can go hand in hand into that church, and they cannot deny us membership. And if we're members in good standing, that means we can be leaders in that church. Brothers and sisters, the Lord says in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy that if a man wears that which pertains to a woman and a woman wears that which pertains to a man, it is an abomination. But the church position is you can be a transgender. I'm not just picking on that church, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you that that's in almost all the churches. We the leaders have died who were faithful, brothers and sisters. And I'm not trying to say there's no faithful leader. I'm just saying the vast majority, we're in trouble. But I'm going to tell you that there are voices that will still tell you the truth. Show me from the word of God. You know, people, we're so far. It used to be a time where if you didn't agree with me, you wouldn't get mad at me, but you would just say, okay, I've got to show this man from God's word where this isn't right. That's what it used to be like. Now it's all political. Who is that guy? Make sure he doesn't get in our churches or whatever we might say. Oh, my friends, we're in trouble. Now, those of you who've just come on, you missed the statement where Ellen White predicted that in the last days, drums would come into the church. And what do we see in the church? And she said it was a bedlam of noise, and she said it was demons involved. Oh, she was just, see, that's why the church changed their position on her authority. That's right, they did. They changed their position on her authority, meaning they now she has good things to say, but her writings don't have authority. But they dressed it up to make it sound like we just want to make sure that the Bible is the authority. Well, she clearly said the Bible was the authority. The bottom line is you had the Ten Commandments, which was God's word, and then you have the writings of Moses, which was like the spirit of prophecy. And everything Moses wrote was in harmony with the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters. And so we have the Bible, and you have the spirit of prophecy, which the Bible says would help the church in the last days. It's in the Bible, friends. But when you reject the authority of the spirit of prophecy, oh, but she says she's just a lesser light leading to the greater light. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The sun rules the day, okay? And then the moon rules the night. What is moonlight? Moonlight is nothing but sunlight reflected. It's the same light. So when she said her writings were a lesser light leading to the greater light, she was basically saying God sent her to bring the light of truth in the dark part of Earth's history. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. But they try to use that statement to say, well, it doesn't have authority, you see. Oh, brothers and sisters, I love you. Therefore, I'm going to tell you the truth. However unpopular the truth is, I'm going to tell you the truth. Why? You're not going to be lost on my watch. And I had to tell somebody that yesterday. Somebody who abuses his wife. I had to tell him, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. It did not, the conversation didn't go well, but you know, maybe he might think about that. You know, sometimes we have these old school mindsets. You're a woman. You do what I say. This is my house, you know? And we think just because we make sure there's food on the table and lights are on, we can just slap our wives around and so on and so forth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, no, no. And so, you know, he came, when we as ministers, we have to tell the truth when the Spirit tells us to, okay? When the Spirit tells us to, we got to tell the truth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I like to tell this. Men may not like it, but did you know that a woman was the only being on the planet that did not come from dirt? That's right, my brothers and sisters. She's the only being that did not come from dirt. Man was made of the dust of the ground. The Bible says all the animals were made from the dust of the ground, but God laid a man down and from his rib pulled a woman. She was the only being not made directly from dirt. Okay, I can say it that way. So, my friends, we've got to be godly. And then as wives, women should be respectful of their husbands and not try to say, I got to rule the house. You know, and I'm going to control him and so on and so forth. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's not too many good marriages in this society today, even in the church. Lots of secrets go that are happening behind closed doors and in the family circles. And God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Oh, my friends, we've got to be more like Jesus. Okay, so we're back in Judges chapter 8. And we've been reading about when good leaders die. It says, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies, just like we have forgotten. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, our churches have actually taken the position, but they didn't tell you about it, okay? And you can go, if you don't believe me, go to USPTO.gov. That's the United States Patent and Trademark Office, okay? And then I want you to put in the name of your church and find out when it started. Like if you are a Baptist, put that in. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, put General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in there. I can tell you that you might be surprised that the date that they put that they started is not the date they started. It was the date after they had changed how the church operates. Okay? They put 100 years after they started. In other words, if they started in 1863, they would have put 1963. They started in 1920, often they might put, a time after that, after things had changed, after the enemy had brought in some new ways of thinking into the church, you see. They disaffiliated themselves from the pioneers, brothers and sisters. It's sad. I'm just going to tell you the truth so you can go validate it. Just go to the USPTO.gov, type in the name of your church, and see when it started. You'll see a first use clause, and you'll see where it was first used in commerce. And I want to tell you, you're only required to put the year. So if it says 1963 and then several zeros, you don't have to put the date or the month or the day. That's what those are. But if it says 1963 instead of 1863, then that particular church is basically saying we are disaffiliating ourselves from that original movement. The church is now in a modern time, and we've changed some of our doctrines and some of our ways, and those old pioneers, they were old-fashioned, you see. I'm talking about what happens when good leaders die, my friends. The church changes, and people stop living for Jesus. Our pioneers in Christianity weren't involved in homosexuality, brothers and sisters. That's what you see in churches today. Our pioneers in Christianity weren't involved in mob violence like what you saw at the insurrection. That's what you see in churches today. And they've perverted the Constitution. You see, the Democrats pervert the Constitution by saying it's our constitutional right to sleep with anybody we want to sleep with. The Constitution does not protect you sleeping with a man if you're a man. It has nothing to do with that stuff. The Constitution, but that's our constitutional right. Constitution was not a license to sin, okay? And the Constitution does not protect and support the insurrection of the Capitol. Of the nation by breaking into the Capitol. But if you listen to the Republicans, they say they're defending the Constitution. You listen to the Democrats, they say they're defending the Constitution. The Constitution must be obliterated in order to bring in the mark of the beast, my friend. It's the Constitution that protects the religious rights of the people. And that's what the Bible teaches is going to happen in the last days. If you want to know more about it, contact me. I'll tell you exactly what the mark of the beast is. And it's not, as much as you know, I'm against how they dealt with this COVID vaccine. It's not the vaccine, as many people think it is. All right, I'm going to read one more verse. It says, this is Judges 8:35 after Gideon died. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, named Gideon, according to all the goodness that he had shown unto Israel. You see, friends, it's like people forget to show kindness. We are not kind to people. We're kind to both those who like us, but when it comes to those who aren't, we're not kind. The Bible says in Judges 9:16, it says, now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal in his house and have done unto him this thing. I'm sorry, that's not the right. That's a cross reference. I'm looking at the wrong. I'm looking at the wrong verse. See what I had. I thought I had a little note on that verse. I might not have. Oh, okay. Yes, I did. I did have a note. All right, so this is the note that I have. It's from Selected Messages. And for those who don't know what Selected Messages is, you just test this and see if it's in harmony with the Word of God. But God had given a prediction of what would happen if the church movement changed. And let's see how much of this actually happened. The enemy of souls had sought to bring in the supposition that a great reformation was to take place among, in this case, Seventh-day Adventists. That was the name of that church. And that this reformation, but you see this in all the churches, friends, and that this reformation would consist in giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith. You see, if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, you used to believe that the beast of Revelation 13 was the Roman Catholic Church. They came in and they changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday because they were recruiting people that worshiped the sun god. And that's what happened, friends. And they were recruit, and then they changed the belief that when you die, you go straight to heaven. Or, I mean, when you... They, in other words, the Bible teaches that when you die, you are resting in the grave with no conscious thought. The Roman Catholic Church came in and they said, no, when you die, you're going to go straight to heaven, hell, or purgatory. They got that from the pagans because the power of the occult is their belief that they can communicate with the spirits of the dead. That's where psychics supposedly get their information. That's where tarot card readers get their power. That's where spellcasters get their power. But they're getting their power not from literally the dead. They're getting their power from fallen angels of Satan called demons, for he can transform himself, the Bible says, into an angel of light. That's why we stay away from the occult, because we're dancing with the devil when we do get involved in it. And so we're teaching occult practices even in the Christian church when Roman Catholicism came in. So my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that the original Protestant movement, they understood what Rome was. It was the deputy of the devil, my friend. I didn't say Roman Catholic people. I'm talking about the system came in and took over the church and brought in the demonism and occultism into Christianity. The Protestant protested against that. And here, so now when I'm talking to you, this applies not just to Seventh-day Adventists, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. We have forgotten where we came from. It would consist of giving up the doctrines which stand as the pillars of our faith and engaging in a process of reorganization. Were this reformation to take place, what would result? You see, I'm going to show you the wisdom that God gave a woman with a third grade education over 100 years ago. The principles of truth that God in his wisdom has given to the remnant church would be discarded. We used to be a people that stood on the word, Bible, and spirit of prophecy. Whatever the Lord said, that's what we do. However God says we should run our schools, that's how they will run. However God said that we should run our medical institutions, that's how they will run. However God says we should have our worship services in spirit and in truth, that's how they were done. Now we want to just please the world. So in our worship services, we want to be like we want to bring the club into the world. That was not always the case in the church, brothers and sisters. You did not have club-like instruments in the church. You didn't. It's a new thing, and I'll tell you where it came from. Look up Vatican II. Happened in 1960, a few years before I was born. They made a decision in the Vatican II Council. They were the first council that they brought in Protestants into their general conference of Catholicism, and they all collectively decided in Vatican II. It's in the encyclopedia. It's on the internet. Just type Vatican II. It's some, you know, polysyllabic words, but look up the word liturgy. That's the way we operate church, the way we do church. Liturgy changed in Vatican II, and Protestants were present with Catholics, and they decided together to bring drums and bass guitars and all these other types of instruments and make it more of a celebration like the club to bring people in. The Catholic Church knew that if we can get people just dancing and moving, they'll have this flight of feeling and they won't be focused on what is a thus saith the Lord. And we fell for it. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. Oh, that's that old-fashioned stuff. We can dress any kind of way we want. We can eat any kind of way we want. A new organization will be established. Again, go to the USPTO office. Type in the name of your church, friends, and see what the origin date is. If you know it was truly 1863 and it says 1963, a new organization would be established. Books of a new order would be written. A system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. The founders of this system would go into the cities and do a wonderful work. The Sabbath, of course, would be lightly regarded. So when COVID hit, we're out there marching with Black Lives Matter marches, but we can't worship God in the sanctuary. The Sabbath would be lightly regarded. But we're going to do a great work in the cities, of course. The Sabbath would be lightly regarded as also the God who created it. Nothing would be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. The leaders would teach that virtue is better than vice. Oh, hey, we don't want to be doing any vice. Let's do virtue. But God being removed, said God's not there. God's not in it. They would place their dependence upon human power, which without God is worthless. Their foundation would be built on the sand, and storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. Friends, the church that's going through is not an organization. The prophet said that is going to be swept away when the storm and tempest of the Mark of the Beast movement comes, and we're asleep. We're asleep, brothers and sisters. We're not ready, and it's going to come upon us, as the Lord says, as an overwhelming surprise. I'm just here to tell you that because I love you. We've got to get back to the Lord, my friends. We've got to study the Word. We can't just be listening to new leaders that have come in, taking the place of leaders like Gideon, and they're leading the church in the wrong path. We're not just supposed to come to church to hear a man put his... Last time I went to a service, man, it was horrible. My eardrums were hurting. Went to a reunion back in the, I'll just say, St. Louis metropolitan area where I grew up. I grew up on the east side. And brothers and sisters, it was so loud that my eardrums were bursting. The man had the microphone in his mouth screaming at the top of his voice. Come on. That's not how. I remember when I joined that church at probably the age of 10. I'm 55 now. I remember my daddy was a preacher. I didn't understand my dad. He was a highly educated man using polysyllabic words. I remember hearing Pastor Joyner, and I remember I understood for the first time what the preacher was talking about, and I was impressed. And he went from scripture to scripture, showing the Bible teaching regarding the Sabbath and the state of the dead and how to be saved and how to give your heart to Christ. Oh, my friends, I was excited, and I was young, and I was baptized, and I wanted to give that message to the world. And, yes, we all have times of backsliding, but brothers and sisters, I'm happy to say I'm giving that message to the world today. I'm here to tell you we're in trouble, and I'm going to tell you we're in trouble because we are. You're not going to be lost on my watch, my brothers and sisters, but I will tell you that we've got to humble ourselves and say we are messed up. You see, God can help us if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We've got to admit that we're wrong. We've got to admit we're in trouble. If we don't, there's nobody that can help us. Repentance must be first. Brothers and sisters, we're going to pray, and then we're going to hear from Sister Lenny on the subject. We're not going to take a break at this time. We'll just go right into her message, fighting illness, fighting illness. Let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Early in the morning, we come and worship before your feet. Father, we pray for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us. We need you, as the song says, I need thee every hour. most precious Lord. We don't sing those kind of songs too much anymore. Father, we just ask that you would help us to repent and help us to come back and help us to search the scriptures and know what you would have us to know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to hear from Sister Lenny. I'm going to bring her in at this time. And let me just find it. There it is. The subject is fighting illness. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Fighting illness. The blood carries nutrients to the body's main parts of your immune system, including the lymph nodes, spleen, and thymus gland, which work together to produce special cells called lymphocytes. The lymphocytes attack antigens, invading bacteria, viruses, or fungi that can cause illness, as well as providing the most nutrients, particularly vitamins A and C, for the immune system. Pure foods provide the fewest toxins, pesticides, preservatives, and so on, that compromise immune function. Pure foods are also rich in antioxidants, natural plant chemicals that help to neutralize free radicals, which can cause cancer. Finally, a diet rich in a diverse range of pure foods helps to reduce the risk of developing a food sensitivity, which is often purely the result of overexposure to the same nutrient-depleted foods, which causes an oversensitive reaction in your immune system. As well as their general immune-boosting effects, we can use pure foods to optimize specific nutrients in our diet to fight specific conditions. For example, increasing our intake of calcium to fight osteoarthritis, or magnesium to reduce the effects of asthma. Pure foods are simply pure medicine. What are pure foods? Pure foods are foods free from additives and chemicals, as in processed foods that place strains on the organs of elimination, such as our liver and kidneys. Thank you so much. This morning's health segment is coming from Clean Up Your Diet, page 14. Thank you, and may God bless you today from head to toe.
Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Phone lines are open, friends. Press star 6 if you'd like to hear from us, and we'll take a roll call. On Facebook, we have Georgia with a good morning from Sister Vicky. We have, I believe it's Virginia, and a good morning from Sister Gloria. We have North Carolina with a good morning from Brother Peyton. We have California, I believe. God bless you. We have Ohio, that is, and we have the country of Kenya with a good morning from Brother Brian. Not sure where my dear sister Sheila is from. We've got Virginia on the line with a good morning from Sister Tuesday, and we've got Florida Mint on the line as well. All right, on the call, we have represented Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Michigan, we have Ohio, we have Iowa, we have New York, we have Michigan again, and Georgia. There's a call online. We'll take that call. It is from Sister Leilani. Go ahead and take that at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I was ready to send you a check, and I needed to know who to make it out to, you or the ministry.
You make it out to Torso Ministry, TORSOE, okay. Torso Ministry. Yes, ma'am. I'll text you the address.
Okay. I've got that. And I also wanted to just thank you for the programs on Sunday, because I've corrected some of the mistakes I was making, and I'm just really grateful to have this new information.
Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Our dear sister's referring to we have a virtual school that's actually taking place, and but you can actually take that course online. Just go to torsoflow.org, and if you like what you see, reach out to us. The website is still in the developmental phase, but you can actually see what we're doing, and it explains it. Thank you so much, sister. Anything else? Okay, I believe she's finished. Anyone else want to share anything, press star 6, and if you have any comments on Facebook, just go ahead and type them. I do want to encourage you, if you're thinking about being a medical missionary, that you should take the Holistic Biblical Wellness Coaching course. God has taught us how to teach the medical missionary work in a way that you can learn in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the cost, my brothers and sisters. And whether you're young or old, you can learn because it uses colorful flow charts with big text. So you don't have a lot of reading to do. The main points you need to know are put there in the flow charts for you, and you can go back and review them. So think about it. Even if you think you're past the age of helping people, brothers and sisters, you might want to consider. It is easy to do. It's online. You can take an online quiz. It's not hard. It tells you when it asks a question where the answer is found in the textbook. Our goal is to do true education. True education makes sure you learn and you apply. It does not put student against student to compete for the highest grade. That's a worldly system. It was brought in by the Roman Catholic Church. The Jesuits admit that they are the founders of our educational system. That's something they proudly admit. So when you're fighting competing to be the valedictorian, that's a Catholic system. When you get extra money just because you can play basketball so well, that's a Catholic system, brothers and sisters. Why should you get more money just because you can jump higher? It doesn't even make sense. It's not fair. So God's system would be affordable and by all who would apply themselves to it, and everybody can learn. That's God's healing method and his educational method. All right, there is no one else in the queue. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to take us to the throne of grace as we close out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to hear your word. And we ask, Lord, that we continue to pray for your spirit to teach us the things that we need to know, leading us always to truth and understanding as we grow in grace and in wisdom. And we pray that you would bless every heart in a special way as we continue to serve you and ultimately to do service unto men. And we pray that we will be faithful to you as we wait for your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will.